You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Hope in the midst of trials. That's what we're studying on Through the Bible as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, begins our study of 1 Peter with an important introduction to the book and the man who wrote it. As Dr. McGee tells us, throughout history, some have called Peter an ignorant fisherman, but we'll discover just how wrong they are as we dig into some of the most significant doctrines in our faith as we study his writings. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host. Now, last time we studied together, Dr. McGee told us why he created the tradition of reading letters, so that we can celebrate what God's doing in our lives and through our prayers for others. And it's still something that we love doing today. So while you find your seat here on the Bible bus, I'm going to grab our mailbag, figuratively speaking, and share a couple of recent notes. First, we hear from a listener in Cambodia named Rothana, who says this: "There was a time when I felt lost, constantly questioning my purpose and true meaning of life. Then I discovered you on Crusa FM, where I listened to teachings on the book of Proverbs. The wisdom you shared from God's word provided me with answers and a foundation for making wise, meaningful choices. That was a turning point for me. Inspired by your teachings, I began applying biblical principles to my life, and it changed everything. Now I share what I've learned, hoping others might also find the guidance I discovered through this life-changing program." Next, we've got a Facebook post from Glenna, who shares this: "The longer I study the Bible with Dr. McGee, the more clearly I see Jesus. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. It's amazing that our great God wants us to know Him and has written about Himself so that we can see Him more clearly. I love that, and I love Him." Well, thanks for the note, Glenna. Glad to have you aboard each day with us. Next, we got a letter from Ken. He's in Texas. "A group recently left to minister to men in Ukraine who are ready to go to battle. God put me at the right place at the right time as I was able to forward a handful of Bible bus passes to one of the men going on this trip. I showed him where to go in the app to see the languages of Polish and Ukrainian. The plan is for him to pass the Bible bus passes on to those soldiers to study the Bible so that they may have salvation, peace, and eternal hope through our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, what a great report, Ken. Keep flinging the seed out there. And if you'd like to receive a pack of your own Bible bus passes that direct folks on how they can hear this program, just call us, 1-800-65-BIBLE's the number. Now let's pray for those studying God's Word with us. Our gracious Heavenly Father, bless your word as it goes out into the world. We pray that it brings salvation to many and that you would remind us all of our great need for you in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're off to 1 Peter chapter 1 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we are beginning today in 1 Peter. And we've come now back to the New Testament, and we've come to a rather remarkable book. In fact, we have two epistles written by the Apostle Peter. And he's a remarkable man also. And we would like to say several things by way of introduction concerning this man. He has been called by some the ignorant fisherman. But no man who has spent 3 years in the school of Jesus could be called ignorant. And the epistles of Peter confirm that. In fact, the matter is, Peter deals with doctrine and handles weighty subjects. And this is seen in his treatment of the great words of the gospel, many of which are gathered together at the very beginning. And we'll spend some time here in these first few verses, because actually, in the first 3 verses that we have here, he deals with certain great doctrines like election, foreknowledge, sanctification, obedience, the blood of Christ, the Trinity, the grace of God, and then salvation and revelation and glory and faith and hope. My friends, you just couldn't have any more doctrine crowded in a few verses than this man has crowded it in. And he is the man they call the ignorant fisherman. We cannot agree with that. Now, it is true that he was bumbling and stumbling at the very beginning as an apostle. But our Lord, when he saw him, he said, you are a pretty weak man now, but I'm going to make you Petros. I'm going to make you a little rock. You're going to be a rock man, and you'll be built on the foundation of which Christ is the rock. And Peter makes it very clear that the Lord Jesus is the rock on which the church is built, by the way, and not on him. In fact, the matter is, he does a very interesting thing. His name means rock, and he says of all other believers, he says that they're little rocks also. In chapter 2, verse 5, he says, but ye also as living stones. He says that every believer is Simon Peter. Simon Peter never takes an exalted position, as we're going to see here. He calls himself an apostle as he opens the epistle, but he's just one of them. Now, it's true, in every list, he's named first, and the Lord chose him to preach the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, but he never in any way gave him anything other than that, and Simon Peter never felt that he was exalted. In chapter 5, verse 1, he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. Simon Peter says, I'm just one of you. He never took an exalted position of himself at all. Now, the fact that he wrote his epistles probably after Paul had written his epistles. And this first epistle is written somewhere between 64 and 67 A.D. And it was after bloody Nero had come to the throne and already persecution was breaking out. And he wrote both of his epistles in that particular period. Now, the place that he wrote from is interesting, and it's controversial, and there's always been difference of opinion. The big problem, I would say, of this epistle, although the liberal has tried to discount both the epistles of Peter, especially the second epistle, but any conservative scholar can give you adequate proof that Simon Peter's epistles belong in the canon of Scripture. Now, the place he wrote from, we're told, is Babylon. He says, verse 13 of chapter 5, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, greeteth you. Well, now, he has to be in Babylon for the church. Now, there are those that think that he's using it in a symbolic manner or a metaphorical sense as meaning Rome. Well, there's no reason for him to do that, because Simon Peter is an apostle who didn't deal in language like that. Now, John in the book of Revelation will do that, no question about it. He's using symbolic language, but Peter's not doing that. Peter gets right down where the rubber meets the road. He gets right down on the sidewalk where you and I walk today, right on the asphalt of life. And he's not dealing with symbols. Simon Peter had meant Rome. He would have said Rome. Now, personally, my judgment is Simon Peter never did go to Rome. I don't think he ever saw Rome. Now, I think he was in Asia Minor, and that was the great heart of the Roman Empire. But he was not the apostle that opened up that territory. It was Paul. And Paul would never have gone to Rome if Peter had been there ahead of him, because Paul made it very clear that he went where the gospel had not been preached before. And Rome was on his itinerary, so I take it that Peter did not found the church in Rome at all, but Paul actually did that. Now, there's another very valid argument that Peter was not in Rome, but in actual Babylon. Because if you'll notice the places that he mentions, the ones he's writing to are sojourners scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, if you get your map, you'll find out those places are in what we call Turkey today, or Asia Minor. And he moves from east to west. Now, if he'd been in Rome, it'd been a little awkward to go way over and begin at the west and move toward himself. A common way to do is to always begin where you are and then move from there. Now, if I said that I was coming east and I'm in California as I make this, I say, well, I'll be going through Arizona and I'll be going through Texas and I'll be going up to Buffalo, New York. I think I'd take it in that. And I wouldn't say that I'm going to Buffalo, New York, Phoenix, Arizona, and Dallas, Texas. I just wouldn't give it in that jumbled way, and I'm sure that you wouldn't either. So we have every reason to believe that this man, Simon Peter, is in actual Babylon. Now, you must remember that if you go back far enough, at the time that the Babylonian captivity ended, that a very small group of Jews returned back to that land, less than 60,000. That means, therefore, that Simon Peter and his ministry was with these people, and there was a great colony in Babylon at this time. You see, it still was a great city on the Euphrates River, and many of them had stayed there. And then persecution that had broken out in the Roman Empire under Claudius not only caused Aquila and Priscilla to go to Corinth, but it caused many in that land to go on over to Babylon, and persecution of Christians had begun also, as well as of Jews, so that there was quite a colony in Babylon. I see no reason to discount the fact that Simon Peter was the apostle that went to those that were scattered abroad of the nation Israel, and there was some in Babylon, and he went in that direction, while Paul is the one that went west. Now, I've spent a little time with this because, very frankly, I consider it rather important. Now, he deals with all these great doctrines, yet he doesn't deal with them in a cold, matter-of-fact way. He's been called the apostle of hope. Paul has been called the apostle of faith, and John is called the apostle of love. There's a great emphasis here upon hope in this epistle, but I believe that the word that conveys the theme of the epistle is suffering. Now, there are some that find grace, and they think that he emphasizes the grace of God, which he does. But suffering, with the cognate words that go with it, occurs 16 times, and the word hope is always tied to it. The Christian hope in the time of trial would be a very, I think, adequate title for this first epistle. And I have divided the epistle like this: suffering and security of believers in the first 9 verses of the first chapter. Then verses 10 through 25, suffering in the scriptures. And then chapters 2 through 4, suffering in the suffering of Christ. And then chapter 5, suffering in the second coming of Christ. So we are back at this theme that we've had before, and that is the suffering of Christ. We've seen it in the epistle of James. We have seen it in the epistle to the Hebrews. And the prophets certainly mentioned it, and here we have it as the theme of this epistle, and it'll be handled in a little different way. Now, this man speaks out of a rich experience. In fact, Dr. Layton, in his book on 1 Peter, makes a very timely remark that applies to Simon Peter. Let me read this to you, because this is something worth having. He writes, I'm quoting, "It is a cold and lifeless thing to speak of spiritual things on mere report. But when men can speak of them as their own, as having share and interest in them and some experience of their sweetness, their discourse of them is enlivened with firm belief and ardent affection. They cannot mention them, but straight their hearts are taken with such gladness as they are forced to vent in praises." You're going to find that in the midst of suffering here, Simon Peter emphasizes joy. Now, friends, that brings me to something that is very important. Now, we have about today some very wonderful young preachers who are expositors, and I'm for them 102%. But I've listened to 2 or 3 of them, and I feel very much like Dr. G. Campbell Morgan did. He and his wife went to hear a young preacher they were interested in. And his wife, Dr. Morgan's wife, was just carried away with the young man. Women generally are with this young preacher, eloquent, fine-looking, and he gave a great sermon. And when they left, why, she was Oh, she was waxing eloquent. She says, he's a great preacher. And she noticed that Dr. Morgan didn't respond. And finally, she says, don't you think that he's a great preacher? And Dr. Morgan made this statement. He says, he will be after he suffers. And she thought that is a strange thing. Well, that young man found out by experience what it is to stand for Christ. He stood at an open grave as he buried one of his little children. And he went through other things, persecution, problems in his church. And then Dr. Morgan and his wife, because they loved this young man, they went to hear him again. And when they left, his wife wasn't so eloquent because she was afraid that he would, you know, pour cold water on it again. And as they left, though, and she hadn't said anything, till finally they got out, and in the silence, she broke it by saying, well, what do you think of him now? And Dr. Morgan said, he's a great preacher. You see, that's the difference. Now, Simon Peter is going to speak out of experience. You see, a great deal of preaching today is theory. A young man that hasn't experienced suffering, I remember that I've been pastor here in this area in Pasadena. I began in 1940. I was a young man. You wouldn't believe it. I was in my 30s. And I preached a great deal about standing for the Lord and suffering. And I used to go to the hospital, pat people on the hand, and pray with them and tell them, Lord, be with them. And that, my friend, was a professional preacher. And saying what I did not know to be true from experience. I believed it, but the day came when I went in the hospital and another preacher came in and prayed for me and started out. I said to him, I said, I've done the same thing you've done. I said, I've been here and I've told people that God be with them. Now I said, you're going to walk out of here. I'm staying. And I'm going to find out whether the theory that I've been telling people is true or not. And friends, you want to know something? I found out it was true. But now, it's not a theory. I know it. I know it by the fact that the Word of God said it, and I experienced it. And I just don't argue with people about these things anymore because there's certain things I know. I would never argue with you about whether honey was sweet or not. It's sweet, and I just don't argue about it. If you don't think it's sweet, that's your business. But my business is, I know it's sweet because I had some this morning for breakfast. It was sweet. Now, may I say to you, Simon Peter is going to speak to us out of a tremendous experience, by the way. And the thing that's going to make it very wonderful to us is that I trust it'll become your experience and my experience. Now we come to the first division here. Suffering and the security of believers. And very frankly, a great many people I don't think can ever have the feeling of assurance. You see, security is a doctrine. I believed in it, but it took me a long time to come to a place of assurance of my salvation. And there are a great many people today who believe in the security of the believer, but they don't have the assurance of their salvation. Why? Because suffering and the security of the believers go together. And you know what? It'll produce joy. Can you imagine that? It'll produce joy in the life of a believer. Now, I want to read this very first verse here, and it's just loaded with meaning. Will you listen to it? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the sojourners scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, first of all, his name. He's now the rock man. We're now past Pentecost. This man knows now what it is to take a stand for Christ. He knows what it is to be arrested and put in jail. He knows what it is to be threatened. And now he knows that ahead of him is a cross that he's to be crucified on. This man knows what he's talking about. And I don't know about you. I must confess that I'm not impressed by professors in theological seminaries today who, to begin with, have had really no experience as pastors. They don't really know the problems of the pastor because they've never experienced them. They don't know what it is. And they don't know what it is really to suffer. So when they get up and spin off some theory today, I always feel like, well, I want to turn back to the first epistle of Peter, and I want to read it again, because I believe him, and I don't believe the young professors. I'm sorry I'm that way, friends, but that's just the way that it is, because I want to know something. I want a word from somebody that knows what they're talking about and has experienced it, and it's life and light to them, and therefore that it's brought to them a great blessing. I'm interested in that. Now, Peter, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ, and that's all he claims to be. He's just one of them. He heads the list, and I'll always put him number one. I love him, but I'm sure not going to put him above the other apostles. Paul didn't. Paul says, I went to Jerusalem, and I talked to Peter, James, and John. They seemed to be something. They were the pillars of the church there. But he says, after all, I didn't go by them. I had been given the gospel by Jesus Christ directly. And by the way, he's another man that talked out of experience. He knew what he was talking about. Now, he's speaking to the sojourners scattered throughout, actually, the Roman Empire. Now, these people are Jews. They were called the diaspora. That is, they were no longer in the land of Palestine. For different reasons, they found themselves scattered in different places. And you will find out that Paul, you will recall, on his second missionary journey, wanted to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of God wouldn't let him go there. He didn't know, but I think probably Simon Peter had already been there, and the Spirit of God's only sending him where the gospel hadn't been preached before. And these are places that if you'll get a good map of that day, you'll find that they're all in what we call Asia Minor, modern Turkey today, and they are different areas in that section. And he's writing to those people that he was the apostle to, Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, and Simon Peter the apostle to these that are of Israel, that are believers, for many had turned to Christ in that day. Now you have here, he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, my friend, we've got doctrine here, and a great deal of doctrine. You have, for instance, the doctrine of the Trinity. You have elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and it's through sanctification of the Spirit, and it's unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me that the Bible doesn't teach the Trinity, friends. You find it everywhere. Paul taught it. Peter's teaching it here. And he's talking about grace to you and peace be multiplied. What a tremendous thing. Now we come first to this doctrine of election. And I hope that you won't veer away from it. I'm going to give you a statement here, and I won't give it today because I won't have time, and it's probably a good thing that we're going to have to wait till next time, because I want you to take a whole lot of vitamins, a lot of spiritual vitamins, and some prayer, because we're going to talk about these doctrines. We have to, because we're going through the Bible, and Simon Peter brought them up. I wish he hadn't, but he did, so we're going to talk about it. So until next time, may God bless you, my beloved.
Let's do as Dr. McGee suggests and take our spiritual vitamins by reading ahead in the book of 1 Peter and then asking God to prepare our hearts for the great truths that we're going to learn. If you want to dig deeper into each study yourself, why don't you download our free Bible companion at ttb.org. And by the way, we're happy to now also offer 1 Peter and any of our Bible companions for the New Testament in beautiful paperback editions. To purchase yours, go to ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you get yours in your hands, why don't you tell us what you think? It's a relatively new offering for us. And If God's calling you to join thousands of other listeners in prayer and support for a new set of tires or gas for the Bible bus as it tirelessly travels around the world in more than 250 languages, well, you can click on Donate in our app or at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And remember, you can also reach us by mail, Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109 is the U.S. address. Canadian listeners, write to Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Our journey through 1 Peter continues, so hop aboard the Bible bus and join us whenever you're ready. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it home.
We're grateful for our committed listening family who faithfully pray and invest in Through the Bible as we together take the whole word to the whole world.
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord once again. Our radio ministers, and preachers, and all those out there in Radio Land, I pray for you this morning that the power of God will move in your life as a child of God. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners this morning. Father, once again, I pray that the Holy Spirit would touch the hearts of those that have tuned into the broadcast. And Lord, that you would give me divine unction and utterance of the Holy Spirit, that I will speak the word of God boldly to all that tune into the broadcast. I ask your blessing to be upon the hearers, even the doers, those that do not even trust in you. I pray for them this morning that the power of the Holy Spirit will reach their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we want to look at what the Word of God is saying today. And the subject that we will be expounding on is being in Christ. Being in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in a church building, not in some organization, but in Christ. And we want to look at what the Word of God says today. And if you have your Bible, or perhaps if you're near where you can have a pad and pen, I would pray that you would jot down these verses of scripture there so that you can relate to them at a later time. Because the most important thing is being in Christ, not in some building or perhaps part of some organization, but in Christ. Now, the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is most important. And if you have your pen, underline that in Christ. If therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You see, we are new species. We are a new creation, and the Word of God tells us that if we are in Christ, we are a new creature, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Being in Christ is very vital and most important, because the only way we can get back home is being in Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So we must be in him in order to get back home. And I pray today that all out there in Radio Land, that if you want to get back home, you have to be in Christ, not in some building or organization. And I want to just reiterate that, because, first of all, a lot of folks are in churches, in local assemblies, but they are not in Christ. And the most important thing is to be in Christ. The Word of God tells us that this is a preposition that is used quite frequently, and most important, because in Christ, through Christ, for Christ, and by Christ is all that we have. Praise God. So in Christ. So Paul was telling the church of Corinth there, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And God sees us as if we have never sinned. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? He sees us as if we never sinned because we are in Christ. Our spirit that once was dead has now been made alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into our spirit, glory to God, and brought forth regeneration, glory to God, hallelujah, and that made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Minister Glory, I would like for you to kind of, you know, we'll play tag team here this morning, glory to God, concerning in Christ, because the most important thing is to be in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, Apostle Paul was telling us when we are in Christ that we are what?
More than conquerors.
We are more than a conqueror.
That loved us. And that's Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
You see, everything is in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ, and for Christ. Glory to God. So Paul's telling you that he said, nay, in all these things, that we are more than a conqueror. We're not just conquerors. We are more than a conqueror, but it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through us or the ability that we have to try and conquer situations and circumstances. No, he says that if we are in Christ, glory to God, that we are more than conquerors through him. I said through him. Underline that word, through him. Praise God. Through him that loved us. Jesus loved us. Glory to God. And I want to tell you today that when we continue to look at these prepositions and see exactly what transpired concerning being in Christ, most important, praise God, that we have what Jesus has afforded for us all through and by what took place there on that old rugged cross. Glory to God. So first of all, being in Christ, you're a new creature. Second of all, we, by being in Christ, we are more than conquerors through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ that loved us and gave himself for us.
Amen.
That's very powerful. And mm-hmm. when we look at what's going on there, we give God all the praise and honor and glory because it is he and he alone that's able to make the difference in all of our lives. Let's look at another verse of scripture, because what we're doing is scripturalizing everything that we are talking about concerning what in Christ means.
Amen.
Many people fail to understand. They say, well, I go to church there. Yeah. And every time the doors are open, I'm there and I fellowship and so forth. But the question is, are you in Christ? That's the most important thing. Are you in Christ? You can be in the building and not be in Christ.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've used another verse of scripture there concerning, what is it?
1 John 4:4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, Antichrist spirits.
Yes.
Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Praise God. You are of God, little children. And you've overcame them because greater is he that is in you. Well, who's on the inside of you? We can be everywhere. Praise God. Doesn't matter where it is. But do you have the greater witness residing on the inside of you? The scripture tells us greater, not just great, but greater is he that is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Praise God. The one that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the Father, sent back the Holy Spirit to take up residence on the inside of us as children of God. Praise God. Greater. Somebody out there in Radio Land should say, greater.
Greater.
Is he that is in us, in me, than he that is in the world. Well, we know who's in the world. The devil is in the world. And the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us because our bodies have become the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. So greater is he that is in you or in me than he that is in the world. Or perhaps the greater witness resides on the inside of us, according to what the word of God says. I believe it, praise the Lord, than he that is coming up against us.
Amen.
And that's the forces of the devil out there in radio land. So the greater witness is on the inside of us as children of God. Praise the Lord. We have that power. Praise God. In 1 John 2 and verse 20, the word of God tells us that we have an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. If you are in Christ, you have an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. And we know all things. This is why we must be in Christ in order to accomplish everything that God has afforded for us to have as a child of God.
Amen.
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 In Christ.
In Christ. Everything is in Christ.
Glory to God.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
In the Anointed One.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Praise his wonderful name.
I know, so in Philippians 4:13 it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Not myself, but in Christ, he strengthens me to do.
Amen. See, when we have Jesus part of the equation, then we have the capacity and the ability to accomplish whatever it is that needed to be done according to the will of God. What does the scripture say? Paul says in Philippians, he said, I can do all things. Many people today, they say, well, yeah, I can do all things. But see, they leave out Jesus. And once you leave out Jesus, it's not going to happen at all. He must be part of the equation. I can do all things. I said all things through him that loveth us, through him that strengthens us, through him that gives us the ability to do the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
See, through Christ.
It's through Christ.
And that strengthens us.
That strengthens us.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. So what it is that in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. You see, it's all those things that makes it possible for us to accomplish the work that God has called us all to do out there in Radio Land. And
yes,
even behind this microphone here this morning, we must constantly and continually believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is in him. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is why we lift him up. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We give him all the praise and the honor and the glory. We dare not take any credit for anything because we have no ability or strength to accomplish anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister Glory, you remember in St. John 15 and verse 5, I think somewhere in that vicinity there,
mm-hmm,
Jesus said, well, without me, you can do nothing.
That's what it says. Mm-hmm.
What does nothing mean?
Nothing.
Nothing means not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't able to do anything
right
without the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's amen.
Our dependency is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our strength comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
I want to tell you today out there in Radio Land, if you're trusting in anything or anybody else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you have set yourself up for failure and perhaps a disaster situation. Jesus, somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
He is the one. Glory to God.
He is the one.
And we are in him. When you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, then what happened is that when you receive him, you have everything that you need to walk this Christian journey. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need everything.
Everything.
And you have everything.
Amen.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the equation of the one that is able to meet every need that we have as children of God. Don't depend on man. Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ.
You mentioned victory, Lord, Pastor.
Praise God.
1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God, which give us the victory through whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, that's what it is. Christ has to be in everything that we're doing. Otherwise, he said that without him, you can do nothing. So, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is again, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Praise God. But, isn't that something?
But the Lord wants us to stay steadfast, though.
Yes.
Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you today that it is in Christ. But we have the victory. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We thank God for that. I want to just kind of tell you out there in Radio Land that because of who he is, we can face tomorrow because we are in him.
Amen.
Glory to God. He paid it all.
Paid it all.
He's done it all.
He has.
Praise God. Now let's look at another verse of scripture here because we're talking about being in Christ. And first of all, the most important thing is we look at what the word says. Now, in Colossians 2, in verse 9, I want to just let you know for a moment here that the word tells us that in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
I want to say that again. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Praise
all
the Lord.
Three are one. In him lives the fullness of the Godhead body and bodily. And now we've asked him to come into our lives. So that next verse tells us what, Minister Glory?
And you are complete, glory to God, in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
So in him, here's the preposition in, in him. So first of all, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then the 10th verse there, Colossians 2 and verse 10, tells us that we are complete
in him.
In him, in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing lacking by being in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Ooh, I tell you, being in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ, in him we live.
Yes.
And move and have our mere existence or our being. Praise God. In Christ. I tell you, I wonder why people feel that they can do something outside of Christ and expect victory. No, this thing is not about us. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And everything that he has done for us. It was Jesus that suffered the wrath of God for you. God looked at him on that cross. But let me tell you something. When he was on that cross, I was on his mind.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? When he was on that cross, I was on his mind. Thank God that I've been given the opportunity to look at what he's done. Receive him into my heart.
Yes.
Give him all the praise. Well, you know, Minister Glory, first of all, we talk about exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we look at the word of God, God has already exalted him.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Philippians 2, let's look at what it says in verse 8 and 9 and thereafter. Praise God. Because Jesus has already been exalted. Not just exalted, but he's been highly exalted.
That's right. Amen.
And we are in him.
Right.
Glory to God.
It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him.
Amen.
And given him a name which is above every name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and then things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, that's wonderful.
According to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Praise the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that we are in him.
Yes.
That positionally speaking, we know who we are and that we know whose we are.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And you know who you are, and you know whose you are. You know the victory that's been won for you, and you know who's done it. Praise God. And you know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Praise
yes.
God.
Praise God.
In
mm-hmm.
him we live
mm-hmm.
and move and have our being.
Amen.
Praise God. What a mighty God that we serve.
Yes, we
praise
do.
God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was on that cross, we were on his mind.
Yes.
He went there to take the wrath of God for us all.
Mm-hmm.
He is our substitute.
Yes.
Can you imagine for a moment what would it look like for me going to a cross to do what? You can't die for nobody.
No, only Jesus.
It took one that had no sin.
That's right.
To die for the sins of the world.
Sins
Amen.
Of-
and I mean him. Praise God.
And that's the whole world.
Yes. Each and every day,
mm-hmm.
I thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for being in you. My faith is in you, not my circumstances or situations that's going on in and around my life. I am in you.
Amen.
And you are in me. And the Father, we are in us all.
That's
praise
right.
God. Isn't
praise.
That wonderful?
That is
man.
Wonderful. Yes.
You
know, mm-hmm.
So let's look at what now, if we are in Christ, what has Christ done for us? Praise God.
He has redeemed us from
praise
the curse
God.
Of the law.
He has redeemed us. Let's look at what does the scripture say here, because we want folks out there in Radio Land to follow us from a scripture standpoint. You can look at what we're talking about. We're not sitting here making up something. We want you to follow what we're saying scripturally. Praise God. And Mr. Glory, you said that Christ.
Yes, Galatians 3:13.
Glory to God.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
This is why, you see, we want to walk in the things that Christ has done. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse.
Yes.
See, the curse of the law.
Curse.
And we know that the curse of the law was poverty is a curse.
Yes, it is.
I want to tell you, poverty is a curse because mm-hmm. the Word of God tells us that he who was rich became poor that we might be made rich. Let me tell you something here. The curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, if you go back and look at that, you see all the curses there, and the curses came upon those that failed to operate, to hearken unto the voice of the Lord, God Almighty,
mm-hmm.
Lord thy God, praise God, and to do that which is right and pleasing in his sight.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ has redeemed. We're redeemed through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it is written,
mm-hmm.
curses is anyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, he hung there on the tree so that I could be blessed.
Amen.
I'm blessed, glory to God.
That's right.
I said, I'm blessed in Christ.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not blessed in my own ability or strength.
Uh-huh.
I'm blessed in Christ,
that's
in
right.
the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been accepted in the Beloved.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right.
You know, you've been accepted.
That's what it says in Ephesians 1:3. It says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Woo, glory. With all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ.
Glory to God. So the blessings is in Christ.
Amen. In
Amen.
Christ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord Jesus. And look at, we want to go back to Galatians 3:13 for
okay.
a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said that he redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Uh-huh.
For it is written, curses anyone that hangeth on the tree.
Yes.
But he said in the next verse that the blessings of Abraham
mm-hmm.
come on the Gentiles by faith. Praise
through
God.
Jesus Christ. Christ.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Praise God. So you all out there in Radio Land, if you're in Christ, you are blessed.
Amen.
Don't let anyone tell you anything different. You are blessed
Amen.
Because you're in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the blessings are, in Christ.
That's right.
There are folks out there walking around today that are not in Christ. They are out of Christ. They have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. So let me tell you something. They have natural life, but they don't have eternal life. And to have eternal life,
mm-hmm.
you must be in Christ.
Right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You must have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God.
Praise,
hallelujah.
Praise
I tell you, I feel like shouting right
well,
now
go right
because
ahead.
Of what? Well, we can't shout. I'm trying to teach you. Praise God. So I want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and let him use me in the capacity in which he desires. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, you feel like doing things. But see, it's got nothing to do with the feelings. It's how the moving of the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that one of
it's
the wonderful. Moving of the Holy Spirit? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know, and by being in Christ, you know, Ephesians 2, glory to God. And in verse 6 there, let's look at that for a moment, Minister Glory, because what is happening is that by being in Christ,
yes,
we've been made to sit together with him.
That's right.
I want you to read that, glory to God, Ephesians 2, verse 6.
And it has raised us up together.
Good God Almighty. Has raised us up together.
And made us sit together.
Wait a minute. Has raised us up together. He didn't ask us.
Mm-hmm.
He made us.
Amen.
It's so important to be in Christ.
Yes, yes.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
He has made us to sit together in Christ in heavenly place.
Yes.
Where are you sitting today? Are you in some building or are you sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus?
Ooh,
now, we're
God.
Speaking from a spiritual standpoint.
Right.
Now, don't get carnal on me because the word of God is clear. Glory to his wonderful name.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to let you know today, glory to God, our time has slipped away here. But the word has not slipped.
Nope, has not.
We're out of time, but we're not out of the word.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because the word is all powerful.
That's right.
And it's in our heart.
Amen.
I praise God, give him all the glory, and minister glory for the little few minutes that, times that we have.
Amen.
I want you to just offer that and extend that plan of salvation, glory to God, to everybody out there. Okay. We don't know who's saved out there, who's tuned into the broadcast, but Jesus knows.
Okay. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth,
yes, Lord,
the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But whosoever, that's so whosoever, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Glory to God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just tell you in the closing seconds here that you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is to receive Jesus and be in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We pray for you out there in Radio Land, and God bless you all. Unto the next broadcast is our prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Out.